And good morning. So I just want to start by kind of putting a question out there. Based on last week's message, you know, Jeff is touching on it today, walking in love. How many of you feel like after you heard the message, you had some challenges this week to walk in that love? Let me, can I get a kind of response from you? Like you have some challenges, like, yeah, it's like, yeah. Here they come. Right when I get the message about walking in love, here they come. It wasn't so much anybody particular. It was just the thought of what is, what could be, what has been in the past. It was old memories and thoughts and things that were coming at me and challenges about myself. And I came to a real, real serious revelation that I want to drop on you. We're going to go back to John 14. But what I want to hand you right now as something to begin to kind of meditate on is the first revelation that I got this week was God had to show me that I really haven't had the ability to walk in love with myself. He said, you can be too critical of yourself. You can be too hard on where you feel you failed, where you feel people have failed you, what you feel you deserve, or more so in this case, what you feel you don't deserve, or is never going to be due you, even though you know the word says it is. And God began to show me that. I don't know about you, but in my 60-something years on this planet, I've made a lot of mistakes. And in those mistakes, I found myself to be very critical of myself. When Fontaine was there, he said something. He said, what do you really feel about you on the inside, not the thing you know you're supposed to say and you're supposed to confess? And that's an ongoing revelation. That's not a revelation you get today and you say amen and then you judge yourself and then you keep it moving. That's something that keeps coming around again and again. Because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and he will continue to remind you of your failures. He will continue to remind you of your faults. He'll continue to tell you why you're not worthy and you don't deserve it. He'll continue to tell you what's wrong with you and why you don't line up with the things of God. The problem for me was trying to, God, give me exactly how to explain this to these children. Try to rebuke those thoughts and think right and say the right thing can become a snare if you're not careful. You can get so caught up in arguing with the enemy and arguing with your flesh about what God said that you stop focusing on what God said. You can begin to see what's wrong with you or what you did do wrong. You know it is right, I am wrong there. Yeah, but I rebuke down, see that. And all of a sudden there's no communication with you and God happening. Is you and the enemy's voice, or you and your own opinion, your own flesh, and your own low self-esteem issues. And God is not even welcome into this discussion now. There's just this ongoing battle and fight in yourself. And what the Lord began to say to me is, because the lack of self-love makes you want to debate your worthiness instead of just going back to my word that says you are loved. Does that speak to somebody? I'm loved. I know I'm loved. But then there's times I feel a need to wrestle with myself about just how loved I am, especially when the enemy puts me in memory of the many times that I failed, maybe in the same exact situation. And our hearts then begin to question, are we who God said we are? You're loved. He's asking you to walk in love. but he's instructing me this week, I want you to take a minute and walk in love with yourself, because clearly you have some issues with that. And as I go back into the scripture today, and I want to lay this down as a foundation, why that's so powerful is this. The scripture is to commend ourselves to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, if you don't really love yourself, what do you have to give to the neighbor? And sometimes, you listen to me close, what I'm about to say is powerful here, please. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves about how we treat the neighbor than we are about how we receive God's love to ourselves. So we'll beat ourselves up about, I'm not as good to the neighbor as I should be, without first acknowledging the self-love between God and us. And that is an impossible task, because you can't give love that you don't have. I can't give you water if I don't have any. I can't give you food if I don't have any. I can't give you love if I don't have any. If I don't have the love of God for myself, toward myself, and receive that love in my heart toward me, then what I'm going to give out is the shell of what I actually believe. That's not an easy thing to do. So let's go back to John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled, distressed, or agitated. Today, I want you to really focus this on yourself, because this is what this word from this point Jesus begins to deal with when he after he goes to the whole, you know, love your brother and all the stuff we covered last week. I won't go back over it. I don't want to run back there and not go forward. Do not let your heart be troubled, distressed, or agitated. You believe and adhere to and trust and rely on God. Believe and adhere to and trust and rely on me also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions or dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to make ready this place for you, I will come back to you again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. This is the beginning of a serious mystery, but it's powerful. When I heard, in my Father's house, many mansions, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I heard songs about it. People have said it to me. You got a mansion in heaven. How many of you heard that? You got a mansion in heaven. So now I'm getting ready to get to this mansion in heaven. It's a problem with that. Because after the judgment of the world, we come back here. So that mansion is going to be empty, if we're talking about a physical mansion. Okay? We're not made to live in heaven for eternity. We're made to return here with Jesus, who puts his foot on the mount, and we stay here with the enemy being listed. I like to make that point, because a lot of times churches really believe you live and you die and you spend eternity in heaven. Not so. Not so. Once Satan is thrown in the pit, we come back here to rule and reign with Jesus. That's a point, and I want to make sure we keep that. So here's what hit me. One way to prepare a mansion or prepare this place for me. But then the verse number 3 is the one that hit me. And if I go and make a place ready for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Well, I'm confused, but I'm not confused. But that statement is confusing if you don't understand. He didn't say, I'm coming, I'm going to take you to your mansion. He said, I'm coming to take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. Well, you'd rather be in a mansion, or you'd rather be where Jesus is? Well, I want to be where Jesus is. And so he's coming to take me to himself. So this place he has for me, I've questioned people about it, and I had, you know, debates with people. I don't think he's talking about a physical place, like a house to live in. I believe he's talking about coming back to receive me in a place or a position of power and authority. You need to work with me here a little bit. He said, he sits at the right hand of the Father. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. many places. And I've come to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and see you to myself, so that where I am, you'll be also. Well, if I am where Jesus is, that means I live in Jesus' house, not in my house. And you can dispute this with me. This is where my faith is what I see. And to my understanding, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. So if I am where he is, then I'm there. And he said in the book of Ephesians, we will be raised up together and you will sit together with Christ in heavenly places, right hand of the Father. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses established. He's not talking about making a house. He's talking about making you the house. They're not getting me. We are the house of the Lord. The word says it, we say it. We're the mansions. We, not a physical place with rooms and balconies and terraces. We are the house of the Lord. He's preparing us so that we can come and be there and be the place where God dwells and we dwell with God. Us and him, him and us. Scripture says that. Christ in you, the hope of glory, you in Christ. This is that mystery the Bible talks about, that it just evades the natural mind, because we relay everything to earthly boundaries. We are in a place where we have the word. We have the spirit of life. We've been given the eternal life of Christ. I want to make you think a little bit. I'm setting you up, yes. So when we get to the rest of this, you're in a place to receive what it is that God has given you for you. When man was created, he was created in the image and likeness of God. We understand that. Taught this a million times. When the image of God is to look like him, and the likeness of God is to function like, or flow like, or be like him. So we are made in God's image to be like and flow like him. Are you with me? Okay. Are you with me? If you're made in the image of God to flow like and be like God, watch this and be very careful. Watch this. Then the spirit in man was man's spirit. He was made in the image, he was of God, and he was given the flow and the function of God. But man's spirit was his own. Got that? Man falls, God has restitution in place for him, the Savior Christ Jesus. He dies, he raised from the dead. Don't touch me yet, I'm going up to the heaven. I'll make preparation for you. Then I'm going to send you another spirit. And then you get filled, baptized, and filled with his spirit. I want you to understand something. We look at it that since the fall of man, we are a reduced creature and a reduced character, and not in the realm of where Abraham was. I'm telling you, you're in a better place, because Abraham had his human spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's spirit alive and living in you. And that's something that man in the beginning did not have, which gives you the power to do things that man in the beginning could not do. So us being made to feel that because of sin we are less is not the truth biblically. We are made over and then filled with his spirit. What do you mean made over? Isn't that what born again is? Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. You've been made over again, still in the image and likeness of God, with the added bonus of his spirit. I don't know how you're taking that right now, but I'm shouting on the inside about that. I'm better than the first Adam. I come after the second Adam. I'm reborn, born again. If I'm born again, then I'm made over in the image and likeness of God with the bonus of having his spirit living in me. Stop seeing yourself as weak people. So when he talks about going to prepare a place for you, I believe that place is position place. Like if you look on the on in the business, there's a place where there's the president, there's the CEO, these are all placements, these are positions, these are titles. I believe your place, if it's a house when I get there and I'm wrong, fine, I'll take the house. But I prefer to go with Jesus saying so that when I come and get you, you be with me. I'm gonna receive you to myself. I'll take that over the house. You can have the house. I'll go stay with Jesus. Thank you very much. And just hang out with him all day and be where he is. But I'll move on now. I laid it down. There it is. Take it or leave it. So he's saying, when I come, and when if I go make ready a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And the place where I'm going, you know the way. And Thomas said to the Lord, we don't know the way or where you are going. How can you say we know the way? Now he started to think saying it, and Peter said, well, wait, I can go to you. No, you can't go. But now he's saying, but where I'm going, once I get there and prepare this place, you know how to get there. He said, we don't know the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, listen to this. This is where it gets deep. If you had known me or had learned to recognize me, you also would have known the Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Stop. He said, if you had known me and learned to recognize me, you would know. Listen to me. If you knew me and you knew how to recognize me, you hear this? If you knew, if he said, I am the way, the truth, and life, no one comes to the Father by me. If you had known me, if you really knew me, yada, if you really knew me, if you learned to recognize me, you would have known my Father. So he said, I'm in your life. If you take the time to know me and recognize me, if you spend more time trying to know me than trying to get something from me, it might hurt somebody's feelings a little bit, but you know, so be it. And when I say get something from me, some of you say, well, I don't be praying to God, I don't be asking God for stuff. Okay, get something from me is not always material. Always make my life better, make me be nice to the people, make me, you know, do this right, make me not stop doing that, make me all this being up on yourself stuff, that still give me something. Give me something to make me feel better about me. If people would like me more, then I would assume that you like me more, God. And if people would get along with me, then I'm going to assume that I must be okay with you. And he said, this is still earthly stuff. Whether people like you, reject you, love you, hate you, earthly stuff, earthly stuff. And I'm not saying that's to be ignored, because he said, if your ways please the Lord, your enemies will live at peace with you. But that's not your pursuit, saints. That's not your pursuit. That's not your pursuit. If you had known me, then you would know the Father and all of these things would work out. If you know me, if you take the time to know me, if you know me, then you know the Father. Then you know the Father. So what he's saying is, as I keep learning him and not trying to get him to do stuff for me or with me or change this and do that as a focus, but if I just take the time to yada, to know him, how many of you have been around me for many years? Do you know my ways? You know kind of my thoughts, my actions, what I would do, what I wouldn't do. Somebody comes to you and tell you I say a certain thing, you say, he didn't say that. That's not even the way he talks. And there's certain things they'll say, you say, oh yeah, he said that. There's things I'll get up and say on before service, and you'll start laughing before I finish the sentence because you'll know where I'm going. I go, oh boy, here we go. Because you know, Jesus, listen to me, and I'm a human. Jesus said, if you just know me like that. Nah, Jesus wouldn't say that. No, Jesus would not approve of that. Nah, he ain't that, nah. Yeah, he would do it. And he said, if you just really get to take your time to get to know me, then you'll know the Father. I'm just praying for knowledge, I pray for wisdom. I've been speaking that over for years, wisdom, insight. And God said, wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God. Right. It ends with knowledge of God. If you know me, know me, take the time to know me, then you'll know the Father. You'll understand what's right and what's not right and what's clean and what's not clean. And you won't even have to try to behave. Let me ask you some other questions. And I know most of you are going to agree with this. How many of you came here and you were saying to yourself, and you can do the thumbs up thing or whatever, your thing is not on, but you've been around me, that since you've been around me and know me, you've been bolder and more cocky about coming out and saying what you need to say and a little less hesitant about holding your voice when you need to say something. You're a little bolder. Come on, let me see. I see Edwards laughing her head off, right? You know, you come out your mouth, you say something like, "Woo!" Like I just put them in their place, right? Because you've been around me enough to know, yeah, that's real. That works. You don't have to sit there and say, what would Pastor do? WWPD, what would Pastor say right now? It's stuff that'll just come out because you've come to know this is the flow. I'm direct now. I've learned to say no to people. I learned to put people in their check when they need to be put in their check. So here's what I'm saying to you. Know Jesus like that. You have to figure out what you would have said and what you wouldn't have said and what you would do because it become organic. It'll become natural. It'll flow out of you. You'll just say it because he said, if you know me, if you just spend more time knowing me, they're praying about your earthly blessings and your earthly this and how come this ain't come true for me. And I just feel so bad about myself and I could be more loving. And Lord, teach me to be more gentle and teach me how to, you know, cross the streets when the light is red. And he's like, please, like, just know me. And if you know me and you spend more time knowing me, then the things you do will reflect who you know. The conditions of your mind and heart go like this. Here's a scripture. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You got bad friends. You got negative people around you. They don't have any dreams and goals. He said, don't fool yourself. Those people will corrupt your good manners. They will change you. They will mess you up. Don't be deceived. Right? Well, let's flip that to the positive. Also, don't be deceived. Hanging with Jesus will make your manners real good. It'll correct your manners. It'll strengthen your beliefs. Your faith will be on a different level. Speaking to mountains and all that, yeah, I see him do that all the time. Yeah, I know how to do that. It becomes a part of your personality, your character. If you take the time to know him, then you will flow like him. You know the Father. So what I'm submitting to you for this part of the message is this and this alone. Spend more time getting to know him right now than trying to understand him, trying to get him to bless you, trying to get him to open this door and close that door and make this person leave me alone. And I found out this week when I got back, there was so many little things happening and I'm going, okay, God, what do I need to do? I need to believe right now. I need to just be believing for this. You know, and the people are already talking about somebody else is managing the building now, and there's new people, and they're raising the rent, and, you know, and all this, all that rent's going to go up. And all that. I'm like, well, God, I'm just going to get it with God. I'm not receiving that. I'm just praying that my rent don't go up like that. And God was like, that's too much stuff. That's too much stuff. You're focusing on too much stuff. You got too many things in front of you that you're paying attention to. Know me. Get to know me better. Spend more time knowing me. Can we do a little bit of that? Now, how do you do that? Well, how do you get to know me? Conversations. Talk. Not your religious mess. Don't go before him with all your, you know, just your prayers that avail much only. And then you're going to read your lines to him. Amen. Get it done, God. Hallelujah. I spoke it. It's in there. Woo. Bye. No. Just sit down. Like I tell you all the time. Do you listen as much as you talk when you get in front of God? How's the balance go? Because if you're talking more than you're listening, that means you think you're smarter. Now, I told you're supposed to pray and fast for hours. Well, yeah, I was a shutting up and listening. Not I was a you running your mouth and telling God what needs to be done, because he really don't need your advice. If you know me and had learned to recognize me, learned to recognize my flow, that's why I asked the question. People will come to you and say, you don't just know me, you'll recognize me. There's certain things that people say that you'll go like, you'll recognize that ain't his flow. And something that you recognize is his flow. And you know it. And if you come to recognize Jesus, you're like, even if I ain't heard his voice, I know it's swag. There's people that say to me, I see you from a block away walking. I know that's you. Just the way you walk like you on a mission. I have people tell me that. You walk like you on a mission. You come like hard down the block. Like, okay, I don't know. I can't see how I walk, but I know this. I know this. God has a walk. God has a flow. God has a presence when he enters your situation. Yeah, you didn't hear what I just said. God has a presence when he enters your situation. When he walks into the room of your life, there is something in you that if you are smart, are you listening to me? You recognize it. His presence just came. You can be wrestling with something, trying to figure out something, trying to know what you want to do, trying to control this, trying to handle that. And all of a sudden, his presence comes in the room, and just all of a sudden, there's this sense of, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Well, how you know that? You were just freaking out like 5 minutes ago. Yeah, I'm good. How you good? I recognize the presence of the Lord, and I realized that he took over. And at this moment, right now, I feel peace. If you had known me, if you had recognized me, and he said, learn to recognize me, then you would know the Father. I can wrap the message up right there, but I got some more stuff for you today. Got a few more goodies in the bag, but I just want to just leave you with that. Walk in love. How you walk in love? How you learn to forgive? How you learn to carry out all the stuff Jesus saying, let your heart not be troubled or not be afraid or agitated. He said, well, you got to take the time to know me. And knowing me is not praying to me. Knowing me is listening to me. When you pray, you listen, you be quiet. You say, God, direct me. Have I been saying this a lot lately? Yes, I have. It's time for the real church and the real believer is to learn to be quiet and receive. It's not all this talking to God. God don't need all your tips and tricks. You know, he don't care about all your how-tos. He just wants you to learn to listen and know him. The clutter of this world, the easy access of all things, the microwave generation we live in, everything is boom like this. Simple things that I lived in an era where people say, everything's so easy for you, everything's so easy for you. And then I look at this generation, I'm like, wow, if I wanted something to you and I wanted you to have it in your hand, be it a picture, whatever, I had to go take it with my camera, then I go ahead and go to Photoshop, and I had to put it in there, and I had to wait for a week for it to come back, and I had to get it, and out there, and then I had to put it in the envelope and mail it to you and call you every other day and say, did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? And I had to wait till I got home to call you, unless I was had a quarter to get on the payphone in the street. You know, I can just pull my phone out of my pocket and just call you and say, I'm gonna send it to you right now. Whoop, did you get it? Everything is bam, bam. Scripture says that in the last days, time would be compressed. Things would go quickly. Technology would increase. Here we are. But I want you to understand that that mentality has the good and the bad. And the good of it is, yes, God can move faster than your technology. The bad is you expect God to move through your technology. He doesn't need it. He's faster than your technology. He's faster than the iPhone 25, and that didn't even come out yet. You understand what I'm saying? God wants us to be to that place that we can be quiet before him and say, let me know you and how you flow. Did I beat that in enough yet? Let's keep moving. I'm going to make one more point for today because I don't want that point to get lost. Jesus said, I am the way. How do I get there, Lord? I am the way. What's, Lord, tell me the truth. Help me figure out what's the truth and what's the right thing to do. I am the truth. Lord, how do I live? I am the life. I am the life. There's no other life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had learned to know me and recognize me, you would have also known my Father. And from now on, based on what I just said to you, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, cause us to see the Father is all we ask. Then we will be satisfied. You see how they just kept going back to their natural understanding of things? Jesus makes this statement, and this is where I want to really bring it home today. Have I been with all of you for so long of a time, and you do not recognize me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What the heck are you talking about when you say, show us the Father? He's saying, okay, no, let me say it to you. Forget it. Let's not say what he's saying to them. Let's say what he's saying to you. He's saying, how long do you have to be with me before you realize that you're seeing the Father? How long do you have to walk with me before you realize you're walking with the Father? If I could just, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to dance down those streets of gold and walk with Jesus and sit in his presence. He's like, what are you talking about? Why aren't you doing that now? Why is it off somewhere in our minds? Why do we believe that it's somewhere over the rainbow? Why do we have such a problem grabbing that we know him and we know the Father? And if you've seen him, we've seen the Father. And if we have access to him, we have access to the Father. And that's why he says, you know me, you'll be like him, for you see him as he is. We always say, well, when I get to heaven. No, when you get born again, we are still in all of our human faults and frailties like him. Loved by him. You think he's demanding that you love other people and he doesn't love you? You think he's telling you to forgive 70 times 7 and he's only forgiving you once? Do you think that he's telling you to have compassion for the lost and then when you lost, he leaves you lost? Do you think that the things that he asks of us, that he's not willing, able, equipped, and doing himself? Do you think the Lord is demanding anything of us that he himself would not do? And that's the reality that I'm coming to terms with. And as I sat there and started trying to search out my life, my future, my goings forward, what's next? How does this change this? Well, if I do this, how does this affect that? What's that going to do? And he said, you know, you really need to just be focused on knowing me and doing what I'm saying. And you don't need to make sense out of all of it. Sometimes you don't need to make sense out of any of it. Sometimes you just need to be obedient to it. And for me, I'm now getting to the point where I'm saying to Daddy, if you feel I need to know the details, are you listening to me? Then fill me in. Other than that, I'm comfortable just being obedient in what you're telling me to do. If I'm not comfortable, I want to be. Help me to be obedient and just following the instruction. Let me know you better. I want to be able to say everything I'm thinking I need to see. If I have Jesus, I've seen it. I have the Father. I've seen Jesus. I've seen the Father. I have his presence. I have his power. I have his anointing. I have his gifts. I have his Holy Ghost. The works that I do, you should do also. And greater works than these shall you do. My God. God, I'm asking you to help me do certain things. I haven't even covered the basic things that you told me are mine. So I want to leave you with this today. And we're going to talk some more about this going forward. But I want to leave you with this. You can't have faith without being attached to the faithful one. Can't have it. So if I want faith to believe that I can walk not in fear and I can trust, then I have to have faith in him. So what is his word and what is my word to you today? Know him. How can you say you don't know me? If you had known me and recognized me, then you would know the Father. And then he goes right here again to Philip, well, show us the Father. He tells Philip that, and he still says, well, show us the Father. Didn't I just say to you, if you had known me and recognized me, you know the Father? Well, show us the Father. I can't get upset with him because that's us. Lord, show us the Father. Do you have me? Do you accept me as yours? Have you seen me move in your life? Just in the area of salvation. Forget about gifts and answers to prayers and, you know, rage and pain. We didn't talk about none of that today. I'm not touching on any earthly mess. Have you in your life seen the Father? Have you seen Jesus move? Have you known, has he verified and confirmed by action and in your spirit that he is yours and you are his? He's saying, and if you've seen that, you've seen the Father. Why don't you seek to see more of that? Why don't we want to see more Jesus? If you have known me, you know the Father, he said a couple of verses up. If you know me and you know to recognize me, then you would know the Father. So now you went from know and then you went to see. So ask and you should receive. Seek and you should find. Knock and the door should be open. Not the earthly doors, baby. Deal with the other doors and the earthly doors will take care of themselves. What are you talking about? Well, it's all the stuff he keeps saying to him all throughout the stuff here, through his talks. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added for you. Added to you, right standing with God comes from knowing him. The blessings of God come from knowing him, yada. The healing of God comes from knowing him. I've said this in times past, but I'll say it again. We make this too complicated. Humble yourself and you'll be exalted. Stop trying to figure out how to be exalted. Just figure out how to be humble. And if you humble yourself, then let the exalting be his job. It's all I need. It's all I want in this season. So as I sat here this week trying to figure out, God, give me wisdom for this. God, give me wisdom for that. God, I'm claiming, I claim wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity, and abundance, and all this. And he's like, okay, wait. The wisdom and insight that you need is to be still and know me. Just know me. Can you take some time in this season of your life just getting to know me? Not to know what you know about me, but the next level of knowing me. Can your focus for this season to be just to know me? Just to know me. In this title this week, I want you to put, yes, it's power over fear, but knowing God. Because if we don't spend more time knowing him, and we spend all the time trying to know ourselves, the goods and the bads, the wrongs and the rights, what we could be doing better and what we should be doing better, I'm asking you today, take that off the table and spend this season right now just saying, I want to know you, Jesus, and recognize you. When you enter my situation, when you enter a situation, I sit there to turn on a TV show and I feel your presence like, man, don't watch that. I just want to know you. I want to know your voice. I don't want to keep praying about, God, if it's okay, if not, make it go away. Take it from me, Lord. Take me from it. Take it. God's like, just know me. And you won't have to have these conversations. Just spend the time to know my presence and recognize me when I walk into the room, when you feel me move in a situation. Just know me enough to say, that feels right. That don't feel right. I'm with you, God. This is where I am. This is what I'm seeking right now. This is where I've been challenged in this season. And this is what I'm submitting to you. Just know him. Just take the time. If you're in all your prayers, do the whole week to say, God, let me see you in this. Let me know you. Let me know and recognize your moves in my life. Whether I like them or not, I still want to recognize your presence so that I can be submitted and humble and obedient to your moves and your voice, your presence. And by that, you will know the Father. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for your ears.